Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Hello and welcome to Free Talk Live. The phones are open. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian
and Matt
and Nikki.
Got to turn Matt down a little bit there.
Got to turn my earphones up too.
I can hear. Okay, I can do that. There we go.
All right.
All right. Lots of stuff to talk about here tonight. Just got back from the cryptocurrency meetup here in town at Keene, New Hampshire's wonderful little spot called Little Zoe's Pizza, which accepts cryptocurrency.
And super delicious pizza there.
Delicious.
I had to force myself to stop. Because we got the garlic knots tonight as well.
Ooh,
as
those are good too.
You just got to go overboard. You know, when you walk into a pizzeria and they have racks and racks of fresh growing parsley inside their building.
And outside, like, actually.
They have it outside too?
During that time of year, yeah. They got a bunch of stuff outside.
Yeah, man, their pizza is so good. You know, when I first moved to New Hampshire from New York, I knew it was going to be bad. I knew it wasn't. I knew the pizzas.
You mean the scene in New Hampshire sucks?
Oh,
as far
God.
As pizzas.
It's not very good. There's one chain called Ramunto's that kind of comes close to the mark and is better than most of the other places. Ramunto's not bad. But then I found Little Zoe's, and it is artisan. Usually when I hear artisan pizza, it makes me stop and think, oh, this is going to be snobby and awful. Mm-hmm. But no, it's delicious. They make their own dough every morning from sourdough. It's like so consistent and delicious, and they take it really seriously.
And they're not snobby people. They're really down to earth.
Oh,
really.
Yeah. They're super cool.
They're free staters.
And they're not paying us to say these things. No, this is all genuine. Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, we're not sponsored by this place. The odds that most of our listeners are ever going to have a chance to try Little Zoe is very, very low. However, if you ever attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival,
that's right.
You can try Little Zoe's Pizza. Mm-hmm. They do have a food truck that goes there and is very busy.
Yeah,
I believe all week long. But they happen to be based here in beautiful little Keene, New Hampshire, which still to this day, despite the meddling federal government and their efforts to destroy the cryptocurrency community, still has some businesses that are accepting cryptocurrency and accepting gold backs. And I talked to Ed from Little Zoe's, the co-owner there today. And I said, well, you know, how did Pork Fest go for you? Because he was there, but I didn't have time to see him. Bonnie and I were only there for a couple of days. And we can see him anytime we want. So I just kind of got a recap from him. And he said, you know, obviously they did great. And I said, well, what was the number one currency that people were paying with? And he said, after cash, it was goldbacks by far. Like, not hardly anyone paid with cryptocurrency at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
I did not really like the cryptocurrency culture at Pork Fest this year.
What do you mean by that?
There wasn't one.
Oof, really?
It's bad. Well,
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, amongst the old guard, of course, obviously. But the problem is a lot of the people who are coming to Porkfest now are, like, they weren't there in the beginning in the old days with crypto, especially not at Rogers Campground. Remember, it was, like, replete. Like, you could pay for anything.
Everywhere you went. Everybody was taking cryptocurrency. And I've heard in the last few years that that has fallen off the radar.
And I think some of what's happened also is, like, during COVID, a lot of in the whole forced vaccinations and the threats thereof and so forth, I think a lot of people who were Democrats and Republicans, like, 10 seconds ago decided that they were libertarian, but they don't really know what that word means.
Mm-hmm.
And then they heard about this Freedom Fest, so they went to it, and they had a great time. They had a ball. They had a party. But they didn't attend any of the philosophical, academic-style events or the talks and stuff like that.
I mean, I don't attend any of those things.
You've got a good grasp on it anyway, though. But
it just feels like, I don't know. I already know all this. There's no point in...
Sure. These are not people who've read Rothbard, we'll say that.
You didn't go and see RFK Jr.
No, I didn't.
Or Vivek Ramaswamy.
Absolutely
see,
not.
What was that guy even doing there? RFK Jr.?
Oh, people love him, though.
Who?
a lot of
that guy. Yeah, there's a bunch of people.
Libertarian.
They're not, see, that's what I'm talking about. He doesn't belong. He's not.
No, he doesn't belong there. He's terrible. He's a drug warrior.
Wait,
drug warrior, and he's a warrior. He just wants to. He thinks militarism is an answer. It's not like that's the exact opposite of everything a libertarian should believe.
Wait, so you're saying we shouldn't bomb Mexico?
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You're being facetious, obviously.
Yes, of course.
But amazingly, there are libertarians backing this guy up as though, oh, he's the best the Republicans could possibly offer. Meanwhile, there's an actual free stater who's running named Aaron Day.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Day's awesome.
Lives here. He's one of us. You know, he's a real deal libertarian guy. He's running as a Republican so he can get the word out about doing a bank run.
Mm-hmm.
And get
which
the word
is a
out.
Fantastic idea.
Right. It's an amazing idea. He's actually, I think, close to 1 million views on his bank run post on Twitter. So he wants to get people with that idea. And so he's putting the word out. He's talking about CBDCs, which I want to talk about tonight. That's why I brought up the whole cryptocurrency thing. We'll get into that because Jamaica now has their own CBDC.
Oh, great.
Out. It's done. It's in production.
It's interesting how the countries that always start with this type of thing are like kind of economic backwater countries, easy to
Nigeria,
prey on.
Jamaica.
I would say these are countries that are easy to prey on by big central banking interests.
Yeah, it's an experiment.
Yep. They usually have some tin pot dictator who's easy to buy.
So we can get deeper into that. But I'm interested in this Porkfest conversation as well. You were saying that you feel like cryptocurrency usage has kind of dropped off.
For sure.
At Porkfest. And I've only been there a couple of days. In the last 2 years, I've only been at 3 days of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I went 2 days this year and 1 day last year, so I barely got a feel for that. But I did notice, like, there was a taco place I went to that was new.
Yep, they didn't take it.
And it was great tacos.
That's what I heard.
But they didn't take cryptocurrency. They took goldbacks. And I actually talked to the owner of the place, and he's a Free Talk Live listener, and he's a total freedom guy.
He wasn't, he's a new crypto. What's his problem?
Well, he wasn't like one of the rando, like you would expect that from somebody who just showed up at Porkfest hearing there's 1,000 people there or 2,000 people and they want to sell some French fries.
Right.
Right. Like the carny guys that kind of show up. They've been showing up for several years, actually, because it's a big enough festival, so it attracts those guys. They don't know anything about crypto. They don't care about it. But this guy knows about crypto. He's not interested because, from his perspective as a business owner, and I think this is probably one of the most solid objections to accepting crypto as a business owner, is just too volatile. Like, he can't buy his vendor, you know, he can't go to his vendors who are selling him the taco meat or whatever and buy that from them. And so he feels like it's not particularly useful to him.
Dude, I worked in food for a long time on a pro level, and I'm telling you right now, if I went back and did it all over, if anybody came into my restaurant and said we'd like to use crypto, I would I would instantly take it.
And also, it's not like you can use gold back to buy whatever.
Right. No, you can't.
You know?
But he does take gold backs, and he likes the gold back. He just feels like he's uncomfortable with the volatility of it. I mean, Chris, our sometime Friday night co-host Chris Wade from Think Penguin, he got into it pretty deep with him in the Goldback channel because, you know, as Chris is a business owner,
sure,
he accepts cryptocurrency online for Linux servers and, you know, laptops and things like that.
Because he's a boss.
And you know, for him, he's points out, look, this has been very good for me over the years. As a business owner, accepting cryptocurrency has been very good.
He's more than willing to take cash, U.S. government cash, which has fallen in value over 99.5% in the last 100 years.
Yeah, talk about volatile.
Talk about volatile. And always on the way down. It never goes up. It's always on the way down.
It's really interesting, too, because he's a younger guy.
Yeah.
Like, you would expect these reasons, these objections from somebody who's 50 and up. But you don't expect it from somebody who's like, I don't know, 30, 35 or something like that. He's a younger guy.
And I do get why some older folks don't like crypto because they're not tech savvy and they don't feel comfortable with it. And, you know, it's one of those things where you do have to be careful with it because you can lose your money if you forget your password or if you lose, you know, USB
stick. You could lose your wallet, right? I mean,
so
you
there
can use
are
a physical
concerns.
Wallet. I mean, there's always concerns. You're right. I mean, whatever we're talking about, whether it's something that is valuable online or offline, security is always a concern. You don't want to leave your wallet in the toilet at the airport, right? Somebody's going to take it. You know, whether it makes it back to you is really the only question. But they went into it. They got into a really long discussion about it, and the dude's just not interested in taking cryptocurrency. And that's fine.
I can't fathom wanting to take U.S. dollars. And you know, the way I look at business owners taking crypto, even at Porkfest, the overall amount, percentage-wise, of business in crypto you're going to do is going to pale in comparison to the business you're going to do in cash and other, you know, gold, ammo, whatever people.
So you're going to have enough cash
you're
to buy your
plenty enough.
Product.
It's mm-hmm. going to be more yeah. than it's, you're not, you know, you might have.
Especially now when you said hardly anybody's paying with crypto. That, at yeah. least that's what Ed at Little Zoe said. He said hardly anyone paid with crypto.
Ed said that. Yeah. So Ed does a boom. Okay, so this seals it for me. Next year, I'm doing food at Porkfest. It's going to be insanely
Ooh, it's
good.
Official.
It's yeah.
This is the official
it's
announcement.
Gonna be, it's going to be okay. super high value. You will be able to get fat for next to nothing if you use crypto. You can pay in cash and gold and whatever you want to instead, but it's going to be a premium if you do because I don't want
really?
That crap.
Really?
I don't want that crap.
You don't even want gold bags.
No, I'll take them.
See, most people will give you a discount if you pay with...
Maybe I will give a little discount for gold, but I really want crypto.
You really want the crypto?
Yeah.
Okay. You could do a Monero discount.
Obviously.
You could do 10% off for Monero, 5% for the other cryptos.
I'll do 25% off. Anybody paying in Monero, I will do a 50% discount.
Damn. That's what it takes.
All other cryptos, 25% off.
Okay. That's pretty serious, dude. That's like...
That's serious.
Because like you said, you were already... like probably one of the cheapest food vendors in previous years. You sold out.
Yep. Oh, I sold out. Quick. I sold out before Thursday.
Yeah.
Aria came back to my place like, I sold out. The first year I did, I sold out before Porkfest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you sold out during Porkfest.
I sold out during Porkfest.
Because basically, if you show up at Porkfest and you can cook, you can sell to everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's no one else
and,
there
and,
doing
and
it.
And my whole formula for that type of slang and food is different than everybody else. The thing of Porkfest is a lot of times you know people want to do custom food for you while mm-hmm. you wait. It's like
no,
a lot
you
of
got
people,
it pre-made. You just slop it out.
It's great. And one of the good things about waiting for your food is you end up standing around, shooting the breeze
sure.
with people, and that's cool.
But you're not making as much money.
You're not making as much money because a lot of people just want to eat and run.
What I did
was I put a tent out front. And I put a tent in the back. I cooked in the tent in the back, and the tent in the front, I put the picnic table under. So while I was doing my, you know, vending, I could still talk to people because they grab a bowl of food.
They stand there
and
eat
I shoot
it.
The breeze. They stand there and eat They sit down and they talk. I mean, Tom Woods
came by.
Some
people want
to
grab and go, like you were saying, you know. Like some people, I'm in a rush. I got to go grab, you know, finish my broadcast. I come in, grab something, and I'm gone.
Yeah, Tom Woods and his now wife came by, and they sat down with Mike McIntyre mm-hmm. and Lauren and Allie
mm-hmm.
and Carlos Morales at the time. And they all sat there for, they each sat there for like, half That's hour, nice. 45 minutes.
So you get all
different
of it. You
times.
Get the people hanging out.
Yeah, they hang
and...
out and they chill and they shoot the breeze and it's great. And the one thing I don't like about vending at Porkfest is I'm so busy is that I don't get to go do Porkfest things myself. On the other hand,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to go do Porkfest things myself. People come to me.
They come to you, yeah. That's how I've always felt about it. I don't sell food, but doing vending at these events is always great because you don't have to go anywhere, and then you get this line of people or whatever that just want to come ask you questions mm-hmm. about whatever, and you can talk to them.
Yeah, and it was cool because it's like inviting total strangers into my home, you mm-hmm. know, into my kitchen, my little camp away from home, and making them feel comfortable, giving them some good food. And
yeah,
like
in
you
your
said,
case,
I was the cheapest one there by far. I was doing like $5 a bowl, just loading
right.
up and see you later.
And in your case, you were, you're very successful. Like you said, you sold out more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually probably paid for the whole campsite, right? Like
several times
money,
over. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did really good.
So you went home with more than you came
for
in.
For sure, yeah. And a lot of it was crypto, too, so...
Which but I how love. Many years has it been now since you cooked?
Four?
Five?
Yeah, I think four.
So.
Because the last time I did it, I was here.
Okay.
So I did all the cooking in this kitchen.
That's right.
There's no exhaust fan. There was like 115 degrees
oh,
in here.
Oh, man.
And it was like raining outside, so it was so humid in here. Oh, my God. It was deadly. But I got it done, and it was a good time. It was worth it.
Well, I hope I'll be able to be there to have the food next year. You guys got married, by the way.
Yes,
and
we did.
I heard Bonnie told me that you guys have never been on a show together.
I don't think so.
No,
crazy. I can't believe it.
That's my wife over there.
Congrats, and that was at ForkFest, which was the second wedding, I believe, that has happened.
Yeah, there was a little bit of misinformation going around. Some people thought that we got married at ForkFest.
No, no, no.
Technically, it was ForkFest.
I believe you tried to get married at ForkFest.
We did try to get married at ForkFest.
The bureaucracy prevented it.
Yeah, bureaucracy prevented it.
And then I think on the FSP newsletter, it was said that we got married at ForkFest, which was kind of comical. I wasn't mad about it. Because it probably wasn't malicious, but it was kind of ironic that we got shot down to get married at ForkFest, because we were going to get married smack in the middle of ForkFest Thursday.
I would
bring all of our family in, basically not force them to come to ForkFest, but, you know, we're getting married right in the middle of
and
it.
And we're two popular people. We would have drawn a lot of people to our wedding.
You had 150 at ForkFest.
At ForkFest. And I
was... going to be more, but it was raining, so probably would have been 135 or 200.
Yeah, we had some people drop out.
Right, yeah. And, you know, FSP Inc.'s whole purpose for ForkFest is to draw new people toward Liberty.
Sure.
And we're talking about my whole family and all my friends who all, none of them are, like, libertarian. Well, some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them aren't necessarily libertarian. Most of them aren't political at all. But they are all people who could be easily flopped if you made a few good arguments to them. And that goes for Nikki's entire family, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we drew tons of those people to New Hampshire. And I offered FSP Inc. to rent a big top tent, an extra tent for them for the week.
Whoa.
If we could use it for about 12 hours.
Wow.
We were going to give them money. We were going to bring stuff. We were really trying to make it work in a way where it would be very beneficial for ForkFest and the Free State Project.
And us. Everybody.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, like, it would have been a really good situation. But it ended up, I'm glad how it happened. I'm glad we got married before so I didn't have to think about it. ForkFest is awesome, so I'm glad I could get married at ForkFest. And I think overall it was a lot easier to just deal with Rogers than to have to deal with
a layer on top of a layer, right?
Well, at that point, if we did it at ForkFest, Rogers would have not been involved. Like, it would have been us just going through ForkFest, and I think that would have been a big mess, probably.
So it was easier going direct to the source rather than through the middleman in this particular case.
Yeah, and you know, I asked 1 year ahead. You know, I asked FSP.
So it wasn't a last-minute thing.
I asked them at ForkFest the prior year.
Wow.
So, like, last year.
Did they blow you away right away?
It was the most dismissive no I've ever heard for any proposition.
Yeah, we tried different locations. We were offering money. We were offering tents. Like,
did they give you a reason?
No, it was just nope.
Okay.
Nope.
There were a couple of reasons, like parking, I think, was one of them.
It was a yuppie in a golf cart telling me no without even giving it a second thought.
Yikes.
Oh, well, whatever. Like you said, it worked out really good.
Yeah, it worked out really good.
You know, things were meant to be the way they ended up.
He's got a great dog.
That's true.
The yuppie does?
The yuppie. Okay. He's a fantastic dog. I love that dog.
If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. The Noons actually were the first couple to get married at ForkFest years ago.
They're good ones, too.
James
Shallon.
So now
we share an anniversary.
Yeah, by the way, ForkFest marriages do not have a good
track record.
Really?
High five, babe, put it up.
Yeah.
ForkFest, however, so far has a good track record. James Shallon, still together, and I think that was like, I don't know, 2018 or something?
And they're just about as concrete as you can get.
Yeah, they rock. For sure. I can think of at least two couples that I know of that got married at the Porcupine Freedom Festival that are no longer together. And I can't think of more than three couples that were married. There's probably more than three, but I can think of three. One, I'm not sure as to what their status is. There's a couple lesbians that live in Manchester. Mm-hmm. And then there's a gentleman, Rob Mathias. He got divorced.
He got divorced.
And it's usually like within a year. Huh. They're not even together at the next Porcupine Freedom Fest.
Oh, wow.
And Brad Jardis, the former police officer who turned against the war on drugs and joined the side of good, he ended up getting married at ForkFest, and that one didn't work out either.
Oh, boo.
So I think you guys might have made the right choice.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Our odds are high.
Yep, ForkFest is not cursed, so that's good.
Yep, and, you know, it's nice because you don't have to ask permission from the organizers of ForkFest because there are no organizers of ForkFest. And by the way, since we're talking about it, I'll give you the dates for next year because these things have already been discussed. And as I understand it, if you're interested in attending just ForkFest, there are a few people that do this. They won't even attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They just come up for ForkFest.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't have to wait until the 1st of August. There's like this. There's this day that they're telling everybody if you're going to register for ForkFest 2024, you have to wait until August 1st. If you call Rogers Campground tomorrow or whatever, they're going to say, call us on August 1st.
Oh.
And then there's this huge flood of calls that come in to them on August 1st. So, but if you wanted to register for the ForkFest dates, you could do that right away because that lockdown August 1st thing is only for people that are going to be attending the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So, next year, ForkFest is going to be the 13th of June through the 16th of June. That is a Thursday through a Sunday. So, people seem to like having it before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's the kind of the energy of the run-up to the big event, which, of course, ForkFest is way bigger. There's way more people that come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest, nowhere near as many. But I think there's probably more people that attended beforehand. I mean, what were your thoughts on having attended a multitude of these ForkFests? Did you feel as though there were more people there before or more people there after the Porcupine Freedom Festival for a ForkFest?
What do you mean?
Like more people. How many people were attending? Like comparing
ForkFest was enormous.
Comparing the years of ForkFest. ForkFest happened after ForkFest for 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, I think there was way more this year, but that's...
Factoring out the wedding.
That's hard.
If you can do that.
That's the hard part, factoring out the wedding. I don't know. I think this may have been a busier ForkFest this year.
Yeah.
I would say so compared to last year and the year before.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful week.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, we got some rain, but it was a really nice week. Our wedding in particular, it was threatening to pour. It had poured right before it, like the day before it, and
yep.
And
it lightened
luckily,
up a little bit, but it was still raining.
Yeah, you know, most people when they get married, they walk out to "Here Comes the Bride" and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
We skipped that, and we're both huge Led Zeppelin fans, but Nikki loves Led Zeppelin. It's one of the things that turned me toward her in the first place. Just you know, I had to look at that, and she picked out the rain song. Way ahead
so
of
I time. Totally cursed us. Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, we
sorry, everybody.
Rain
I got rained on at my wedding.
It was drizzling at the time. It was really beautiful, though.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I couldn't have asked.
I actually, I wanted to add Looks Like Rain by the Grateful Dead, Bob Weir, to our wedding playlist. And then I was kind of thinking about the lyrics. And it's a really, like, sad, depressing breakup song. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, that's terrible.
Such
a good song. But I'm like, not the vibe.
No.
All right, ForkFest.party, you can go there. You can learn more about the event. They've got links to chat rooms where you can get connected to other attendees. It's the decentralized alternative festival that happens before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, basically the weekend before. Come on up early. If you're going to go to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, come up for a few days early and hang out with us at ForkFest as well. It's a bit of a different crowd, a little slower, maybe like less than a tenth of the size of the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Very chill.
Very laid back by comparison. And check it out at ForkFest.party. We're going to continue here and get into the CBDC. Cryptocurrency? No. We're talking about central bank digital currency. A lot of mainstream media wants to confuse people.
Yeah, there's nothing crypto about it.
Right, into thinking CBDCs are cryptocurrency. And they are not. But they're coming. And in fact, Jamaica apparently already has theirs operating. But how's it doing? How many people are using this thing? We'll get into it. Coming up here, it's Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yeah. USA News update. At a House Oversight Committee hearing today, IRS Special Agent Joseph Ziegler revealed multiple errors in the Hunter Biden investigation.
Assigned prosecutors did not appear to follow the normal investigative process, slow-walked the investigation, and put in place unnecessary approvals and roadblocks.
He asserted that investigators were prevented from pursuing leads that could have linked Joe Biden to an alleged influence peddling scheme. At least one person has died after gunfire erupted in a Florida City Walmart. A witness says he saw a man shot twice in the chest and a second person in the leg. A handcuffed person was seen in the back of a Florida City police cruiser. A Texas woman is under arrest in Dubai for shouting in public. Tiara Allen, a 29-year-old social media influencer, allegedly raised her voice while trying to retrieve her passport from a rental car company. That passport has now been confiscated. She's been locked up. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. If you want, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online over at freetalklive.com. And you can enjoy the features that we have waiting for you there. In fact, we have our own social media platform on which you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts of the show. Just go to social.freetalklive.com and you will find that there. And it's free. When you sign up, it will ask you one question. And the question is something like, you know, how did you get here or why are you here or something like that. Just put in something related to Free Talk Live and you will get in. Basically, anything that sounds like you're a human being, the point of that question is to stop the spam bots from getting in. And it has done a very good job at stopping the spam bots. They just don't know what to say to that question. They put in something that just makes no sense. And we reject them and we approve everybody else. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. We're going to get into the CBDC, but then coming up, a haunted town that is illegal to visit. Nikki has a story about this, and I'm very curious to hear what that means.
Me too.
So we're gonna get into that. But first, an even scarier story. The CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency. This is a real nightmare that is coming true in various different places in the world. And the latest victim is the people of the wonderful country of Jamaica. We have the pleasure, once again, talking about Keene's food scene here. We got a Jamaican restaurant here in town, and it might be the only one in all of New Hampshire. I don't know. I heard
it might be.
I heard that rumor recently.
I doubt it.
I hope it's not true, but
there might be one in Manchester or Concord.
I don't know if there was one in Manchester years ago that I went to in downtown Manch, but it closed. So I don't know Maybe there's another one there, but that one was good. Anyway, Jamaica is now, according to the Financial Times, they chronicled how the Caribbean country hit rock bottom, turned a corner, and weathered potentially catastrophic headwinds, which is admirable, but you may be forgiven for not expecting Jamaica to be at the front of international financial innovation. To these skeptics, we present Jamdex, a.k.a., I guess this is slang in Jamaica, Aki Money, A-C-K-E-E, Aki Money. Jamdex, as they call it, was launched in July of 2022 and is one of only four fully launched retail CBDCs in the world. Now, this article sounds like it's salivating over this, so, you know, take the viewpoint of the author here.
Isn't it funny how they pump this, but they've been spending 10 years pooping on crypto?
Exactly.
Well, there's too much freedom in crypto. You know, you need the government to be able to control this, or else it's dangerous. And
drug dealers, terrorism, even though, of course, they use the dollar primarily, terrorists and drug dealers. But regardless, and that is the big claim here. One of the big claims of the CBDCs is that they will be able to stop the terrorism or stop the money laundering or whatever. And what they're really going to do is stop the people who have political viewpoints that differ from the status quo. They'll be able to stop them from having any kind of livelihood, making good money, being able to spend it in certain places, that kind of thing. So who's got the CBDC right now? Which countries on the planet?
China.
Surprisingly, they don't list China, even though they have it.
Oh.
So I don't know why that's not on this list here. China has a CBDC.
Yeah, you think that would be number one.
You would think.
It's probably because journalists these days are generally bush
lazy.
Yeah. Awful.
Could be. Now, maybe it's because China hasn't rolled theirs out completely yet. As I understand it, only a portion of China, their population has access to the CBDC, so it isn't across the whole billion people yet.
I wonder which segment of the population they chose to have access. Was it the really, really obedient elite, or was it the really, really bad people who go against?
I don't know if it's geographic or political based or what.
I would assume it would be in the cities, maybe, because it would be a little bit more difficult to get the rural folks, because, of course, China is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And the majority of it is very rural.
It would make sense for them to start it in Shanghai or wherever. But no, they don't mention China. They mention the Bahamian sand dollar, so the Bahamas. The Eastern Caribbean D-Cash, which I had not heard about. I'm not sure. They say Eastern Caribbean, so I don't know which countries in the Caribbean would be included in that. D-Cash. And Nigeria's E-Naira, which we have heard about. We've talked about to some extent here on Free Talk Live. The Nigerian CBDC, I believe, was the first one to come out. If not, China was first, Nigeria was second. And that's a particularly interesting one because Nigeria, of all the countries on the planet right now, Nigeria is the number one country for people adopting cryptocurrency.
Wow.
So I think they felt like they really had to speed it up and get the CBDC on the scene quickly, because it's literally like one out of three people in Nigeria have purchased cryptocurrency.
You know, and that's, we've said that from the beginning, and cryptocurrency is never going to replace government currency, but it's going to make the government currency compete.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have no choice, because cryptocurrency's, it's a genie that's out of the bottle, and it cannot go back in. It literally can't get back in the bottle, even if it wanted to get back in the bottle.
They're trying hard.
They will never be able to push that genie back into the bottle. Is that ship was sailed the second Satoshi hit the go button. And
especially after Monero came out.
Especially after Monero. When Monero happened, it was flat out.
Which, for listeners that don't know, Monero is the primary privacy coin in the cryptocurrency market.
Yeah, plus with Monero, you can mine it yourself without any special equipment. So Monero is an especially nice little thing for people who enjoy their freedom.
Yeah, so cryptocurrency, like you're talking about, it empowers the individual. The individual can acquire it without asking permission. For instance, if you know somebody else with Monero and they want to sell you some Monero, you just ask them and they hopefully will sell it to you, and then that's completely off the record. You know, there's no one except for you and the person who sold it to you knows that that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
With CBDC, absolutely everything is on the record. The record is controlled centrally by the central bank. They have a copy of the only copy, presumably, of the, I guess it's blockchain-based, because as I understand it, the CBDC people, they hired some of the Bitcoin programmers who are not freedom-loving people,
yeah,
who obviously
clearly
are willing to work for the evil governments of the world. They worked, at least I know here in the United States, they had at least one or two of the guys that have contributed to Bitcoin code working on the CBDC. And so these CBDCs are designed for control. They're designed to be controlled from a central place, whereas a cryptocurrency is decentralized. Mm-hmm. One of the key aspects of cryptocurrency is not only that it's cryptographically secure, but it's also open source. It's also decentralized. It's distributed, meaning that there are thousands of places in the world that have a copy of the Bitcoin blockchain. The blockchain is the public ledger, essentially, that backs Bitcoin. It's got all the transactions that have ever occurred on Bitcoin.
Which is important, because if anybody ever tried to counterfeit anything like that, it would get caught, because there's so many places that the ledger is kept.
Correct. So that's the important aspect of having it distributed and copied, essentially, in those different places. They're always checking each other constantly to make sure that there's no funny business going on. Whereas with the CBDC, it's all just sitting there in the same database in the central bank's, you know, server rack.
And they can mess with it all they want.
Absolutely.
To, just like they have the money they've been printing for the last how many hundred years.
Yes.
Hook it up to your social credit score and whatever else they want to do.
Well, and that's what they say is coming, because that's what's been going on in China. So this isn't like some wild speculation.
No, they're
this
already
is
doing it.
Happening now. And in fact, Aaron Day, who we mentioned earlier, is the presidential candidate on the Republican side. He's the one out there talking about the evils of the CBDC. He wrote extensively in his book about it, which you can, I think, get from his website. I think it's Day 2024. Yeah, Day2024.com. He's got like this really, the first chapter is kind of like fictional, where it's set in the near future. And it's this really Orwellian, creepy kind of oversight society where the CBDC exists and the social credit score exists and, like, all these controls are in place. And it's a very, very dystopian kind of little story that he writes about what could happen. And then he reveals, of course, that all of the things he's talking about are already happening, just not necessarily all together as one. So it hasn't all quite been tied together yet, but all the strings are kind of loose out there. The technology's there. It doesn't need any further development. It just has to be put together. And then, you know, you roll in the vaccination mandates, and you roll in all the other things that they want to literally shove down your throat. So it starts, in some cases, with this CBDC. So let's talk about Jamaica. I forgot to mention Nigeria. Very, very low adoption. They haven't mandated people use the CBDC. They've just introduced it. They've sold it. They've said, hey, come try this out.
If they mandate it, it'll make people run towards cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that may be one of the reasons why they're taking it slow. But I think it was less than, the last time we talked about it, which was a few months ago, it was like less than 0.5% of Nigerians have done anything with the CBDC there.
Good.
So that's the good news. But what about Jamaica? So they say here, despite its recent economic success, Jamaica still suffers from stagnant public sector wages, rising costs, and rocky social services. I don't really care what the public sector wages are, but developing digital cash might seem like it should be low in the country's hierarchy of needs. And sometimes, if you build it, they don't come. As of February of this year, the total number of Jamdex customers was 190,000 people in Jamaica. Now, they don't do us the favor of giving us the Jamaican population, but I suspect that is a fairly small percentage of that. We'll give a quick look here and see exactly what is the population of Jamaica. 2.8 million. So we're talking about less than, what is that, 10%?
10%.
Yeah. You know, 7% or something like that.
Yeah, it's less than 10%.
So that's the total number of customers. While the total transactions for the year 2022 on the CBDC was valued at $357 million, which is less than 0.01% of Jamaica's 4.7 trillion electronic That can't be right. Oh, it must be in Jamaican dollars or whatever, right? Like, there's no way that Jamaica's got $4 trillion.
I could also see the Jamaican bank or whoever runs the Jamaican Central Bank set up accounts for a number of the population and putting some in there and saying, look at the adoption rate. All of these people have some to their name.
But have they ever actually used it?
They might not even know they have it. It could be, you know, a dollar a piece.
That's a great point. So $4.7 trillion in electronic retail transactions was what the whole country did without just the CBDC, and then just the CBDC at $357 million. So a fraction of a fraction, right? Like million to trillion. There's billions in there too, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's a very, very small number by comparison. And that is 0.1% of currency in circulation.
You know, we could just go look at the blockchain and find out how many accounts have what in them and which ones are active. Oh, wait, no. Yeah. You're not allowed to see the blockchain that they're working on because it's a central bank.
You have to take their word for it.
You can't just look.
Yeah, and the point you're making is that with most cryptocurrencies, with the exception of the privacy coins, you really can't look at the blockchain with Monero in any meaningful sense. But with like Bitcoin or Dash or many of the others out there, you can go and you can see all the statistics you want to. You can see which wallet has the most Bitcoin in it.
If you got a lot of time in your hands and a big computer, you can just download the whole blockchain if you really want to.
It's true. It's called running a full node.
Yep.
And there are, I think, around 17,000 of those right now, 17,000 computers that are running the full Bitcoin blockchain. A lack of merchant signups. Turns out the merchants aren't very interested in the CBDC either. And technical difficulties in October meant that early adopters of the CBDC had nowhere to spend it. The government tried to reward the first 100,000 people who signed up for Jamdex with a... Okay, here we go. This gives us an idea of the difference between the dollar and the Jamaican dollar. The Jamaican 2,500... I presume they call them dollars. 2,500 Jamaican dollars, which would be 16 U.S. dollars.
Oh, wow.
So that gives you some idea of the discrepancy there. And only 36,000 people signed up to get their $16 bonus. So they cheaped out even more in Jamaica than El Salvador did when El Salvador launched their Bitcoin thing. When El Salvador in 2021 became the first country on the planet to actually legalize Bitcoin as legal tender, which has its own problems, but they gave away $30 worth of Bitcoin to incentivize signups. And a lot of people did sign up, mm-hmm. and then they cashed out the Bitcoin and got $30 and walked away from it, right? So again, lots of signups, very little actual usage of going to a business and actually spending this stuff.
But it seems like in this case, the people don't even feel that the CBDC currency is valuable enough to even waste their time.
Not even worth it.
Get the $16.
Yeah, they would be correct. They should definitely go with their first instinct on that one.
In April of this year, the Finance Ministry announced two more incentive programs. The Small Micro Merchant Incentive Program, which would reward 10,000 food stores, gas stations, and salons with a 25,000 Jamaican dollar deposit. That's about $164. And the Wallet Holder Individual Loyalty Program, which provides regular users with loyalty points that can be redeemed for cash back. Now, what I think is interesting here is what you're looking at is a trial run of what they're going to try here in the United States when these things come about. However, here, I feel like you're going to have more corporate adoption. I think that you're going to likely see, you know, the mega corporate chains that always carry the water for the government, you know, all these corporations.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they all signed on with, vaccinations, and let's put the little aisle indicators down, which show you which direction you have to go.
Or even a lot of places with the credit card use, now a lot of places are cashless.
Like Chipotle?
Yeah, well, and also we went to a music festival recently, and Live Nation bought, I don't know if they bought the venue or
they bought the festival.
You could not get a single thing. Unless you had a credit card, you could not pay for anything in cash. We even went to, they have vendors that come out. Some of these people just follow around, tour with different music festivals, and they just spend.
A lot of those guys don't take credit cards at all.
Nope.
So things are changing though. So I asked one of the people, I was like, oh, can I just pay in cash? Like, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no. And like, are you sure? Like, hey, here's how you do it. You just like, pretend it didn't happen, like, you know. And he's like, absolutely not.
If
you know,
they catch us, we're kicked
out. Yeah, so right? He was like, this is a really good gig for us, and they take it really, really seriously here. If anyone even catches me touching cash in exchange with a customer, I'm kicked out for life, and I'm just screwed.
Who's behind Live Nation? Who owns this company?
No, it's probably BlackRock.
It's a huge
Ticketmaster
company,
or something? Like, is this like the big corporation?
It seems like Live Nation and Ticketmaster are connected because I go to a lot of concerts, so I buy a lot of concert tickets off of different platforms. And the concert tickets, you can look at them on, you know, their website now.
Right.
And it seems like they're connected. So my concert tickets, I can view them on both Live Nation and Ticketmaster. So they must be connected somehow. Mm-hmm.
Liberty Media owns Live Nation.
Really?
Yeah.
Liberty?
Yeah, that's ironic, huh? Now, is that the same Liberty Media that owns XM, Sirius XM Satellite Radio?
Certainly.
Very interesting.
Subsidiaries, Live Nation Concerts, Ticketmaster, Frontline Management Group, Live Nation Network, C3 Presents, AC Entertainment, and Live Nation Merchandise.
Wow. All right. So now for me, like, I know you guys want to see the bands, right? Like, that's the only reason why you go. But if I had gone to that and found that out while I was there, I'd be like, this is the last time I will ever come to one of these shows.
And I think there are a lot of other people that are like that. Unfortunately, not enough to really make an impactful difference. Because a lot of people don't care about it. A lot of people are like, yeah, credit card
is easier
for me anyways. Yeah. You know, they don't really care. They don't really value alternative means of payment. But there are a few things that happened that really upset me. And it sucks because it's a great music festival and I really, really like the bands. But the security and a lot of people in
This is a camping festival too, right?
Yeah. And it I'm sorry, I
just can't even imagine. I've been to some of these when I was younger, went to Livestock in Florida, which was a lot of fun. I can't imagine having to rely on electronic currency of any sort at a cow field or wherever the hell this was happening, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's a camping festival, it has to be in a big place where people can spread out. They've got tents. Probably, were there multiple stages?
Yeah, there's three stages.
Right. So, I mean, you got
the camping was literally on the side of a mountain, basically.
Right.
And I've been going to this particular festival since 2015.
But it was just recently that it flipped.
Yeah, once Live Nation bought the festival, then all this stuff really flipped. I couldn't even bring a backpack in that wasn't clear. And let me tell you, that really pissed me off.
Into a camping festival.
Yeah. So the people
Hold on, just to clarify, was this into the stage area or in the camping area?
I believe that the people that were camping could bring backpacks in, but who knows? They might have been, because there's a gate between the camping and between where you go to see the music.
Right.
So who knows? Because I saw some people that seemed like they were camping that also had the clear backpacks.
So that's probably just to get into the music area.
I think they might stop you at the music area and there might be like no backpacks or anything. Mm-hmm. And the issue I had with that is I don't eat a lot of the food that's at festivals.
Sure. That's
so
terrible.
I want to have my big water bottle. I want to have snacks. But they're essentially forcing, you know, you can't bring beers or anything. And so I want to... They're essentially forcing you to either buy their food and drink their crappy water, or you have to leave, do your thing, and then come back.
Or buy one of their backpacks for $100 or whatever, right? Oh, you don't have one? Right over here. Just get your credit card ready.
Yeah, from a vendor that paid a small fortune just to get his little spot.
Yeah.
From Live Nation.
And I was a little disappointed. There still are some smaller festivals that are cool. Like there's Jerry Jam that used to be in New Hampshire. Now they moved it to Vermont.
There's always going
to
be those.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. There's no way the corporate monsters are going to take over all of them.
Don't speak too soon.
But boy, what a disappointment. I mean, you read these stories. We'll get back into the CBDC, but you read these stories from time to time about the Visa and MasterCard going out and pushing to businesses like, hey, why do you need cash? You don't need to take cash. Here, we'll incentivize you to not take cash anymore. Years ago, we had a story about they were giving away, quote-unquote, $10,000 to businesses to not take cash anymore.
Yeah, to bribe them.
But they weren't just doing it to anybody who would stop taking cash. It was a drawing, right? So you had to stop taking cash for whatever time frame, and then you would be entered into a drawing, and then you'd win, you know, $10,000.
It's not worth it for me, especially, you know, for big businesses that, I mean, typically people don't always put all of their cash on the books.
Right.
So that's a big, like, discount when it comes to taxes.
Well, and
so I would think it wouldn't even be worth the $10,000. I mean, if you're making millions, the $10,000 is nothing.
Yeah, but it must have incentivized some people. But it didn't seem like it caught on or anything like that, because what we're actually seeing happening around here, I don't know if you've noticed this, but more and more businesses are putting up the notices that say,
yep,
you got to pay 3.5% or 4% extra if you're going to pay with a card.
I've been seeing that a lot lately.
Yeah, and one of the things that happened, I don't know how many years ago it was, but there was some kind of federal, I don't know if it was a lawsuit or if they passed a law or something, but there something changed federally to where the credit card companies can no longer mandate that you can't reveal their fees, essentially. It used to be in the contract.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it was even a thing.
Right. It used to be part of the terms of service. Whenever you signed a merchant contract with a credit card processor, it said in there, you cannot give a discount to your cash paying customers.
Hmm. Oh.
Now you can. Now you can actually put it right out there on Front Street and let people know, you want the best price, you pay with cash, or in some of the cases like Little Zoe's here in Keene, you get a discount if you pay with crypto, you get a discount if you pay with cash, gold backs, but if you pay with that card, they're going to hit you with 4% or 3.5% on top.
I mean,
and
yeah.
They were one of the first to do this a few years ago, and now I saw it at the Jamaican Place this week. There was a notice up at the register. There's a Cheshire Village Pizza right down the road here from the studio. They've got it there. It's starting to pop up all over the place. So business owners, especially in a situation where the money is starting to be worth less than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, gun dealers have been doing it for a long, long time.
Right. People, these restaurants, they're getting squoze out by the, you know, already they're not making a whole lot of money. And now costs are going up. They're having to raise their prices on the menus. We're seeing that happen everywhere. You can't get out of a restaurant if you buy not even alcohol. I mean, Bonnie and I at the Jamaican place, I don't know what it is for you guys, we don't drink alcohol, and we're in for $56.
I think that's funny you said that. I was just going to say, I think we paid $69 because Nikki got a margarita or something. A mule. He got a mule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I actually ended up getting dessert last week, so $60. You know, in that case. And desserts these days are $8, $9, $10 if you go to, you know, one of the chain places or something like that. So they've got to do this to stay competitive.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when I go to, like, a small mom-and-pop diner, mm-hmm. and I still see, like, a breakfast, you know, just bacon, eggs, and toast for $5.
They just haven't raised their price. I mean,
I don't know how they survive,
They're probably not doing very good.
Yeah, that's nuts. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to comment on what you're seeing out, around and about as far as mandates to use credit cards, I mean, that's just crazy to me, but that's the direction the big banks want to push things, and their big corporate buddies are all too happy to help them out with it. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.